So our second reflection this morning I've entitled The Prayer. For as Martin's just said, the heading within our church Bibles is Jonah's Prayer. Don't know how many of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom. She was instrumental in helping many Jews escape the Nazis in World War II. And one of her famous quotes, and I don't know in what context she said it and to whom she said it, but she said these words: "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" I wonder, when do you pray? How often do you pray? Is it daily, every other day, when you come to church, when times are good, when times are tough or difficult, challenging, painful? Jonah, as a prophet, prayed. But he prayed once he was in the belly of the fish. In chapter 1, we heard how he heard the voice of God and did a runner in the opposite direction. But Jonah had heard God's call and instruction to go and challenge the people of Nineveh. He got on the boat at Joppa to go to Tarshish. He experienced a great storm on the seas. He was challenged by the captain of the boat, and he eventually told them to throw him overboard. At no point in that catalogue of events did Jonah pray. Did Jonah seek clarity from God or communicate with God? Just as an aside, the people on the boat acknowledged who God was before Jonah spoke. And God kept Jonah in the belly of that fish, we're told, for 3 days and three nights. In that time, Jonah must have been alone, unable to communicate with anybody. He'd no one to bounce ideas off, to discuss things with. And he turned to God in prayer. And I wonder, what conversation did actually go on between him and God? Was it just the prayer that we read of in this book of the Bible? Was it just these 10 verses or these 214 words? Or did more conversation take place between Jonah and God? And you can take your choice as to whether you believe that was all that was said or whether more that was said. And if there was no other conversation but this prayer, it must have touched Jonah in a special way. It was a prayer of thanksgiving that God had saved Jonah's life. In this prayer, it's as if Jonah is refocusing. He's putting his eyes back on God. For in verse 4 of this chapter, we read, "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." And the temple really was the place where they believed God resided. That God's presence was in the temple. And Jonah is, in saying that, is saying, "I'm going to change my view and I'm going to look towards God again." For he must have recognized that he'd taken his eyes off God. His ears attuned to the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the concern. Jonah had an encounter with God that changed his focus. I sometimes wonder if our faith in God and our relationship with God is—it's a bit like. I'm not trying to suggest that any of us are dogs, by the way, when I use this analogy, but those long extendable dog leads that you can get that allow your dog just to go 5 meters, 6 meters, whatever length they are, and no more. And I wonder sometimes if God keeps us close within a certain distance and allows us to go so far and not that step further. I think we see it in the story of Saul or Paul in the New Testament. On the Damascus Road, he's going to imprison and even kill Christians. And it's as if God says, hang on, you've gone far enough, you've strayed far enough. I'm not allowing you to go any further. Maybe Joseph and his brothers is another example. When his brothers want to do harm and God stops them and says no, no further. And Job perhaps is another example when we read the book of Job. But there are two examples, I think, of God saying you can go so far and no further. And I think it happens in our lives today as well. God can be crying out for us to listen to him, to come to him, to sit at his feet. In short, God has broken into our lives, often simply to remind us of his presence. And then he reiterates that invitation, that instruction, that command. So in your life, going back to the very start, is prayer your steering wheel of the direction in which you're going in your life? Or is it the spare tire, there for emergencies, there for those times when nothing else will work? And if it's the latter rather than the former, then pray that God will turn that spare tire into your steering wheel as we continue to walk in him for his praise and his glory.